This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. This is the Generic Live Show. Thank you everyone for joining us. This is the Generic Live Show for a Friday. Finally, a Friday. You have made it through yet another week. Well done. It is the second week of February, so that's exciting. So hold on to your butts there. Thank you everyone for joining us. It is a pleasure as always. We will get to this massive shortage, this massive Telstra shortage in just a little bit. I do apologize. I sound like absolute crap today. I haven't been feeling well the last couple of days. But there, I'm holding through. I'm doing two shows today. And I'm holding on for dear life. But that's... I'm not holding on for dear life. I shouldn't scare people. But, you know, I'm getting there. I'm feeling better than what I was last week, energy-wise. So that's exciting. We do have a jam-packed show for... I do apologize. There was a video that was... There was a video going on and I didn't even know about it. This big, massive Telstra outage, of course, that rocked the country all throughout the week. It started on Tuesday and lasted several hours. Telstra, for those who don't know, Telstra, one of Australia's biggest telcos, has blamed a manager for widespread network outage affecting millions of customers who were unable to make calls or access data for several hours on Tuesday. The telco's chief executive officer, Kate McKenzie, said that, quote, it was an embarrassing human error. After a malfunctioning node on the network was taken offline. Instead of reconnecting the servers to one of the network's operational nodes, a Telstra worker routed it back customers back to the dud connection point. Quote, we took that node down. Unfortunately, the individual that was managing that issue did not follow the correct procedure, and he reconnected the customers to the malfunctioning node rather than transferring them to 9 other redundant nodes that he should have transferred people to, Ms. McKenzie told reporters on Tuesday afternoon. We apologize right across our customer base. It was an embarrassing human error. We have a video here. Hopefully the video works. So let's test this, exploring more about this Telstra error. If it decides to load, which it did before when I didn't want it to, so, you know. Here is that video. That's exciting. Yep, it's not loading, okay.
Ground to a halt.
I couldn't get any messages out, couldn't make any calls.
I couldn't do anything, so I had to leave work and I thought I couldn't ring to inquire. So I thought I'd come in myself into the shop and see what's happening.
He wasn't alone, but getting information was about as easy as making a call.
Not from Telstra, no. We've just been told that it's down, we'll hear back, so that's it.
Didn't bother trying to phone up because I knew that I'd be in a massive queue. Didn't bother complaining either because I knew it would probably go unheard.
Eventually, the cause was identified, a malfunctioning node which connects phones to the network and one employee who's stuffed up.
Unfortunately, the individual who was managing that issue did not follow the correct procedure, and he reconnected the customers to the malfunctioning node.
The flow-on issue was massive network congestion, as hundreds of thousands of customers were unable to make calls, send texts, or access the internet.
I rely 100% on my phone, so I'm sure lots of people and businesses are in the same position as me.
Online complaints raged. On Twitter, one customer wrote, "All right, who tripped over the power cables at Telstra? I've got a few spares under my desk if you need." Mid-crisis, the Telstra tweeted back, "Nah, we just flicked the off switch as a bit of fun." Smiley face.
No, and I can't say I see the joke in that either.
It took 3 hours for services to be restored. Daniel Sutton, 10 Eyewitness News.
I do want to apologise. We couldn't get that out on video feed for the podcast. Listeners got it. Tune into the podcast for that, but it's basically just explaining everything that just happened. Now, look. I understand technical difficulties happen on this show all of the time. I understand that. We're not on as high a level as Telstra are, but here's the thing. I think these things are bound to happen at one point or another. Trust me, they really are. But I think, apart from that, I think it's less of that and still more of, you know, it's human error. It's human error. And in 2016, why are we still using humans to do this type of work? I'm not too sure. Particularly, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't hire humans to do this sort of work if you can. I'm just saying that it seems like a job where it's so fatal. It's so fatal and it's so important. I think you need something that is programmed so it doesn't, stuff like this doesn't occur. I think having something that's programmed to do a particular job is good in this case, so it doesn't leave, you know, out in the dark. I was not affected though, so and we'll get to that in just a minute of where it was majorly affected, but for the most part, it turns out it was major capital cities and the likes of that as well. I think the thing that popped into my head was, it does say something about us, and I'm guilty too. I'm not perfect, trust me, by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not perfect, but I at least have a sense of, well, all right, I can't use my phone, therefore I'm not going to use my phone in this case. There's still a bit of, let's have a bit of common sense in how we use our technology and all the rest of it. But I think that if people are that reliant on phones, then we've got a bigger problem. And as soon as there's one outage in a network, I think, and we still have, you know, a meltdown crisis in 2016, I think that tells us more about our society as well. And then, like I said, I'm not perfect myself, but I at least have control. excuse me. Miss McKenzie continued, I've already done that. Alright, 10 nodes are situated across the network to allow the telco to manage traffic and connection for voice data. Quote, we could take down 3 or 4 of those nodes and do work and fix them up and it would have no impact, but on this occasion, the correct procedure was unfortunately not followed, and the consequences you see. I'm happy to say that we've restored services to all of our customers. She Happy Miss McKenzie. The affected, Telstra has announced on Tuesday evening that they will be giving all of its mobile customers a day of free data on Sunday. Customers do not do anything to receive this free data. It will happen automatically to all of our mobile customers, Telstra said in a statement. From 12:45 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, red dots lit up on the service status board on Telstra's website, indicating a massive outages in all massive cities. Part of the interruptions, 4,663 reports of interruption were logged. Reports of Telstra's problems of interruption were logged. The largest clusters of failures included Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, were of course the big players. The telco has also confirmed that affected customers are still able to connect to emergency services from their mobile phones. Quote, "This is ridiculously poor. I'm not paying my bill this month." Noah, not saying the surname, wrote on one of Telstra's Facebook page. "Please hurry up. Excuse me. Please hurry up. Try to run a business," posted Lyndall Fraser. The outage was punctured by a fedora of jokes and memes at the telco's expense, with many users offering the telco rookie IT advice. Well, just before the 3 p.m., Telstra said that they identified the issue and, quote, "and services are being restored progressively." 3:30, some customers reported that the services had been restored, though the outage was still expected to affect 1 million businesses and individuals. 2G, 3G, 4G services. 4 p.m, all of their services were restored, the telco couldn't. Now, again, like, it's... Excuse me, there's two things. One, again, reiterating the fact that people are going to be people for people's sake. I think that, you know, it's just hard. It sucks that, you know, you can't use your phone because a human error has caused this. And again, I still do stand by the fact that it should be roboticized, that process, but that's just me. But that's just me. Second of all, excuse me, I'm pushing through today. Second of all, I think that people will be people when it comes to social media as well. I think people will troll and try and get the most out of life when they take to social media. It's 2016. It's not always the answer to your problems. I think it's just one of those things where it's just like, I'm going to take to social media and demand that someone gives me a refund for a shirt that I didn't buy. Why? Because I say so. No, hang on. Someone's out of a particular shirt, but I'm going to demand they give me that shirt. I'm going to take to their Facebook page, and I'm going to demand that they give me that shirt, because I need to wear clothing. That's pretty much what it is. And I'm not saying that businesses aren't important. I'm just saying that, you know, they know there's a problem. You don't have to tell them that there's a problem. They're more than aware that there's a problem. And they admit that they effed up. Let's take that as the premise here. They realize that they messed up, if you so to speak, and they know that they messed up. You don't need to tell them that they messed up. But I think is this outage the nail in the coffin for Telstra? Maybe. I don't know. I think Telstra can bounce back from this. There's a lot more worse things happening in corporate business in this country at the moment. I think that they can bounce back from this, but you cannot be too say that, and then they're not gonna go into receivership or that. They've got tons of money. They've got a good customer base as well, so that you don't have to worry about that. So it's interesting to see this sort of thing, and that person's you want to hire someone who sends hundreds, millions of people off the, you know, excuse me, off the, you know, off the biggest network in this country, one of the biggest networks in this country, you hire this game. We continue here on GLS. Finally a Friday. You have made it to the weekend. I'm saying finally it's a Friday. Ugh. I wish, I don't know what it is. I got this weird cough thing 2 weeks ago, and I just can't get rid of it. It just seems to be... Anyway, this weekend is a day that I hate really, really much, and I don't know why. I don't know who put this in their run sheet, but I'm going to talk about the best video games. That rhymed. I didn't mean to rhyme that much because I am talented very, very much. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. 10:19. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. This one's going out to you. Welcome to Love Songs and Dedications here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday with your host, Dale Campbell. You know that very special someone in your heart? Let me turn that down a little bit so I can talk over it. We've all got that very special someone. As the world of retail would have us believe, Sunday is the day to show our love for that very special someone. If chocolates and roses aren't your thing, well, we have a solution. But some I'm bringing my voice real low. That's right. That was Sunday. Back on track. Sunday is the day to spend with that very special someone. Games is a way to spread Valentine's Day. named Forsyte was tortured performing marriages. Made famous by a mob massacre in 1920s Chicago. Now, we celebrate it by buying cards and flowers for people we'd like to get naked with. A lot of things are wrong with this picture. Not the least of which to say is the idea that you would want to get super sweet with your significant other one day of the year. Send them flowers when they least expect it. Take him out to dinner on a surprise weeknight. Stop making Hallmark rich off your romantic guilt every February. But whether you enjoy it ironically or otherwise, Valentine's Day can be a good excuse for couple-centric activities. And naturally, that includes video games. Whether you're both hardcore competitors, or curiously casual, or some mix of the two, here are some great games that especially go great side by side. Cooperation and competition. If you decide to throw in a few custom-made rules of nudity, who are there to stop you? You're in the mood for celebratory cooperation? Portal 2 might be your deal. Co-op mode on this fantastic first-person puzzle. You and your partner as robots, trying to middle their way through the increasingly complex series of S chamber challenges built around guns that open up dimensional portals. You're in the mood for potentially relationship wrecking competition. Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U is up your alley. Remember, folks, drive with caution. If you're in the mood for a guns a blazing bro fest, then Army of Two for the 60 and PS3 might be your box of chocolates. Short lived franchise is like the Michael Bay of cooperative video games. Big guns and big dumb heroes. You're in the mood for world building and strategizing and Minecraft for every single platform that existed in history. Might be your bunch of roses. You're in the mood for dungeon crawling heroics, then Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls might be the way for you. You're in the mood for a movie themed mod. Practically every single Lego tie-in movie game deal is right for you. Whether you love Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, or superhero, there's a Lego adventure game built around it. You and your loved one. And don't forget this weekend, cats. If you have an Xbox One, a PS4, or a PC, then Lovers in Dangerous Space Time might be for you. Just remember, folks, play it safe this weekend. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, finally a Friday, thanks for joining us here on GLS. As we continue, well, we've had quite a week in politics, of course, so let's Ignore what happened in that last segment. I'm like, why was James Brown on GFN, everyone? Just was that something that round of applause for James Brown. I think every live studio audience is here. Oh, they're going wild. You know how hard that was? You know how hard that was to do with the throat like this? Anyway, as we continue, we'll run down a lot has happened in the last week and in the US politics circles. Plus, is latest opinion poll right out of Australia. As we continue, 10:30. Find us on Google Plus. Just search the Generic Live Show and react. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Kim. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday. Here on the Generic Live Show, we're getting lots of feedback from the last segment. It was pretty good. You know what? I just turned my mic off. Wrong button. We got a lot of feedback from that last segment, so we might make that the clip of the day. Dale Campbell doing his best love song dedications impression. A little bit of that and a little bit of James Brown in there too. Might make that the clip of the day. We might have to do a repeat. Might even make a repeat segment too in the second hour. Also, we got a lot of stuff happening in the second hour as well. So don't you be going anywhere. We're here from 10 to 12 on Fridays. Coming into the 2nd of March though, actually coming into March, we will be back from the 2nd of March. We'll be back in our nighttime slot of 10 p.m. to 12 midday. We'll be back at 12 midnight, rather. We'll be back in that time slot. We like that time slot. That time slot is good. We have a lot more interaction, but a lot of people segment. So thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. Now, whether you're listening to us live or a hard drive, so that okay. Meanwhile, moving off that ever so slightly, we have a lot of stuff that has happened in the last little while, even in the last week. Excuse me, I still feel terrible for coughing. Here, hopefully, is a video. Here's some audio that will sum up the winners and losers. Know that that's where everything. Trust me, I never knew that was where it was going to land at all. But you know, hey, these things do. Stranger things do happen. Trust me. They really do. So, that is what's happened there. The Vermont Senator's victory over Hillary Clinton gained much-needed momentum as he heads to tougher states further south. The higher voter turnout headed to the power of Donald Trump over a double-digit victory that could end up matching consistent polling leads he has maintained since he declared his candidacy. Sanders took to the stage with the victory party. That video is not going to work. That video is not going to work either, so that's okay. What if I open it? Here is Senator Sanders' victory. It isn't working. I'll, hey, it's all fun and games. We're figuring this stuff out. So anyway, he basically took to the stage about campaign finance pretty much straight away. And that was his basis of his victory speech. Mind Donald Trump had a speech as well. He gave an unusual emotional speech in a hotel boardroom next to the Best Western Hotel at Manchester Airport, thanking his deceased parents as well as his siblings. That's Donald Trump at the New Hampshire primary. Where to from here? Now, next, I believe, I have to look at the calendar. Next, we've got a Democratic debate tonight. We've got a Republican debate on Saturday night. I think from that, go to South Carolina next. Yeah, we go to South Carolina next. Okay, for the Republicans, here we go. For the Republicans, we had Ohio, New Hampshire, South Carolina, is February 20th, Nevada. Then we've got Super Tuesday, where we've got Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia, and Wyoming. After that, we've got, that's on March 1. March 5, we've got Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine. March 6, we've got Puerto Rico. March 8, you've got Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi. March 12th, we've got District of Columbia, and we've got Guam. March 15th, we've got Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, Northern... Northern Marinas. Then we got Ohio. March 19th, we've got Virgin Islands. March 22, we've got America Samoa. Arizona, Utah. April 1, we've got North Dakota. April 5, we've got Wisconsin. April 9th, we've got Colorado. April 19th, we've got New York. April 26th, we've got Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. May 3rd, we've got Indiana, Nebraska, West Virginia. May 17th, we've got Oregon. May 24th, we've got Washington. June 7th that's the last day. We've got June 7th, we've got California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. There's that. On the Democratic side, we've had Iowa, we've had New Hampshire, Their next list is Nevada. Nevada. South Carolina is February 27th for them, for their guys. Then they've got all the Super Tuesday stuff as well. Then they've vouched fifth, they've got Kansas, Louisiana, Nebraska. March 6th, they've got Maine. March 8th, they've got Democrats Abroad, Michigan, and Mississippi. Got MP again on March 12th. March 15th, they've got Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, and Ohio. March 22nd, they've got Arizona, Idaho, Utah. Three caucuses on March 26th, Alaska, Hawaii, and Washington. April 5th, they've got Wisconsin, Wyoming on April 9th. New York, they've got on April 19th. April 26th, they've got Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. May 3rd, they've got Indiana. May 7th, they've got Wham. May 10th, they've got West Virginia. May 17th, they've got Kentucky and Oregon. June 4th, they've got Virgin Islands. But June 5th, they've got Puerto Rico. 7th, they've got California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota. And June 14th, they've got District of Columbia. So that is the lineup. It differs slightly, not by much though. It just slightly differs up. So that's what we've got coming up. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. This first March 1, I think it's gonna be all go. We're gonna see a lot of stuff happen. Not so much. I reckon South Carolina for the Republicans and Nevada for the Democratic Party. I don't think we're gonna see much out of there. I don't think we're gonna see many surprises. We're not gonna see a lot of changes happen. In that regard, as well. I do apologize for the technical difficulties in this segment. I won't be doing that again, will we? We continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Friday. Finally, a Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Well, Australians have been polled. What do they like more? What do they like more? Sex or music? I have the answer for you as we continue. Sex or music? We've got the important question. We've got the important questions and we've got the important answers. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Friday. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:49. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Finally. Friday, thanks for joining us here on GLS. Now, we have a big question. There's a big question on everyone's lips. What do Australians prefer more? Do they prefer sex more? Or do they prefer music more? What do Australians prefer? Australians really love their music. We're a country of about 22 million people, and yet we have the biggest music poll on the planet, and homegrown artists absolutely slaying it all over the world. Okay, that's... Thank you, Royden Lee. Hale and Gadget. There's pretty much no day in summer without a music festival somewhere in the country, and that's not enough. We're the birthplace to the greatest song ever to exist. You can literally say we like our music. Gagging. Oh, here we go. James Bain's back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. No, just kidding. It's a classic dilemma, but what would you rather give up? Music or... Sonos, who are about to launch their new partnership with Apple Music, means you can stream your Apple Music device to your Sonos device, post a question to a bunch of people from around all the world, and the results may surprise you. The winner is, perhaps, expectedly, sex, but only by a whisker. A whopping 46% that say they'd rather give up sex before music. I just had to think of that. Which is pretty staggering, even sex is literally the only reason for us to be alive, according to Mr. Lee. So 46% of Australians is music is greater than human existence. This article is a bunch of... on this article out. Do I just keep reading? I'm not sure if that's a glowing endorsement of our love with one of the most oldest art. Interestingly, 29% of Aussies would rather give up sex than music than TV, which might not come as a surprise given that we world's television piracy. Netflix and chill? Nah, just Netflix plus. Oh, dude. Grab something from... Oh, how about a random text message? Meanwhile, in the world of Domino's, Domino's pizza delivery driver sacked after sending creepy messages to a woman. A Domino's driver was sacked after bombarding a woman he delivered pizza to with freaky text messages. The driver was dismissed after Imogen Gorn, 22, was inundated with creepy messages from a man he delivered takeaway to her home. The freaked-out graduate from St. Thomas, Exeter, feared that her safety. The driver began texting her 20 minutes after delivery, saying that she's beautiful. Imogen grew concerned that that night when the driver called her number of times to point her address that was hysterically laughing down the... spent 10 minutes waiting outside her house before the driver came stumbling down the roads towards her. Speaking to a student newspaper, The Tab, Imogen said that I'd just come back from... work social, and was really hungry. I thought I was getting pizza. It was almost midnight. Oh, I'm going to get pizza. It's almost midnight. I got a phone call, and it was a guy giggling down the phone. Hi, he said, hi, it's Domino's, and started laughing. I asked if he was outside, but I went to my door, and he wasn't, so I stood outside for 10 minutes. Then I saw he was falling across the road, like he was completely out of it with my pizza. After the odd exchange, she got inside to eat her midnight snack when the text message came in and said, you're beautiful, God bless you. The message was carried until yesterday morning. This is... Thursday morning. No. Wednesday morning. The imager said, I found it a bit odd and funny at the time, but actually, it was really sinister and freaky, and I was really disturbed about what happened. It made me not want to use Domino's delivery anymore. Ninka Arnott, a spokesperson for Domino's Pizza Group, said, "We are very sorry to hear about Image's experience, which is wholly unacceptable." Following an investigation, the driver was dismissed. Try and put this. There you go. This is that's a good story without any weird memes or anything. So here's the exchange. Yeah, the exchange is really weird. It's so strange. Anyway. Thanks for joining us here on GLS for a Friday. Finally, a Friday. You know Amazon, or as we like to call it, Amazon here at the Amazon has got their hands in a Hindi here on GLS. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. It's 11 o'clock.